1 Kings chapter 19, the miracles have happened in both the fire falling and then the rain falling, and the people of God recognizing they needed to come back to serve the one true God. And in the midst of those miracles, there's a difficulty, and Elijah is not immune to it. He's a man of like passions, even as we are, and he gets discouraged. He felt threatened, and so he ends up in a place that the Lord asks him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So let's read it together, 1 Kings 19, verse 9. He's in a cave, and the Bible says he's lodged there. Evidently, he's been there a few days, been there a while. But let's read. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Now, a cave can be interesting. It can hold some mysteries and some unique things. There were no extensive caves where I grew up. The water would erode in the cliffs and reefs and so on enough that you could maybe wander in for 10 feet or so, but that's not really a cave, I guess. Maybe some of you grew up where cave exploration really required some preparation and some time. I don't know if that's what Elijah is experiencing here. But the Lord is asking him, what are you doing here? So you may be seated. I want to just share a little bit here with you tonight about coming out of a cave. Coming out. Now, the devil would very much like to confine you as a Christian, as a believer, confine you to a cave where it's dark, it's dismal, it's damp. There's just not a whole lot to attract you to that place, but that's where he would like to keep you boxed up. Now, the scripture says Jesus is our hiding place. You need a hiding place. Let the Lord be your hiding place. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the Bible says, and the righteous run therein and are safe. Thank God. There's that safety and that place that the Lord would have us to be. I can remember hearing some years back in the coming of the Lord, very much a fervency that was there, and some who felt that they just needed to separate themselves from society and go into a remote area, maybe even a cave, and stay there, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Well, God's word says, occupy till I come. We don't become occupied with, you know, just making money and materialism and those kinds of things, but we do the work of the Lord, the work for the kingdom, and see what the Lord would be able to follow through on as we obey his word, as we believe him. But let me just share a few characters that I thought of in Scripture that were in caves. And the Lord didn't ask them like he did Elijah, what are you doing here? But they did need to come out of their cave and do a work for the Lord. Gideon was threshing wheat and hiding as he did that job, because he didn't want the Philistines to see that he was working and that he was getting the grain, because they would come and steal it. They would come and take it. They took advantage of every opportunity in that regard and just used their might, their authority, their presence to take advantage of the Israelites. And Gideon perhaps had been through that before, and this time he thought, they're not going to see me. I'm going to do this in secret, and I'll get my grain and be able to go home. Well, the Philistines didn't see him, but the Lord did. Thank God the Lord sees you in your difficulty and in your problem. Amen. Brother Aaron said it so powerfully and so correctly. The Lord is there when you are in trouble. The Lord knows and recognizes what's happening and what's going on. Amen. Now, not that we would willfully move into the realm of trouble and exercise poor judgment and lack of common sense to get ourselves way off in a way that is going to bring difficulty and problems to us. No, when we're trying to do right, we're trying to follow the Lord, we're trying to serve Him, and then the trouble comes, you can rely upon God. But thank the Lord, even when there is a poor decision, I'm glad God doesn't give up on us. Amen. A God of the second chance, a God of the thousandth chance. Amen. I'm thankful that we can put our trust in the Lord. So the angel appeared to Gideon, probably quite surprised as to the greeting that he received. The angel declared, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And here he is hiding, threshing wheat, and being obscure, being incognito as much as he can. Gideon's reply, "Oh, my Lord." And then the question, if the Lord be with us, why? You ever ask why? And especially with that prefix before it, if the Lord be with us, why is this happening? Why is that taking place? Why is there this shortfall? Why is there this problem? Gideon was told that he was going to save Israel. His answer? Oh, my Lord. He just couldn't see it. He just couldn't believe it. And that's why we have the story of the fleeces and the various things that Gideon was involved in. Gideon needed to come out of a cave of fear. Fearful. Hiding. Not believing that God was going to step in and take care of the people of Israel and use him. Use him as the instrument of deliverance. That was far from his mind. He wondered, who's he talking to? A mighty man of valor. I don't see anybody here. And he realized that it was him himself. So he offered a sacrifice. And there rose up fire out of the rock. Another sign. It wasn't a briquette either. It wasn't something that, you know, he's getting ready to barbecue, getting ready to grill something. No, God was showing his power. God was showing Gideon, this is what I can do. This is the power I can reveal. This is how I'm going to use you. Praise God. And so the Lord told him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not." And so Gideon built an altar, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. He wasn't feeling peaceful, especially when the Lord told him, "You've got too big an army. 32,000. Against hundreds of thousands? Don't tell me that's too big. We're too little." But he said, "Tell everyone that's fearful to go home." And you remember the story. He had 10,000 left. That's, I don't know if the Lord was saying, "I'm going to teach you to test me with fleeces. I'm going to test you." You got to be ready for that. You got to be ready, Lord. The Lord's going to test you. You test him. You put him to the test. You qualify your faith all along. The Lord's going to qualify you. And we know the story. He ended up with 300. But, oh, our God brings victory. Our God provides the answer. Our God knows how to get the job done. Praise God. Thank the Lord for his power. Jonah is an interesting story. Told to preach to Nineveh. But he refused, and he fled from the presence of the Lord. Several times in Jonah's book that's recorded, from the presence of the Lord. Now, we gather because we want to feel the presence of the Lord. We want to be in his presence. We want to know that he's mindful of us and all of our situations and circumstances that we can bring before him and trust that he's going to give peace. He's going to say, "Fear not." He's going to declare, "I'm with you." Praise God. And we want that. Jonah didn't want that. And he went in the wrong direction. And he started going one way, And the Bible says he went down into a ship, and then he ends up going down into the sea, and then down into the whale or the fish. But thank God, again, the Lord's a God of a second chance, because he's there praying. And I don't know if it echoed in there or if things were sloshing around. He had to pull seaweed off his head, Brother Steve, and just, you know, getting, this is awful, and vomited out on the shore. What a delivery. What a way to go forth and preach. But the message was still the same. Yes. Didn't change. Go and preach. Yeah. And so he did. With the wrong spirit. And the whole city repented. The whole bunch of them. What could have happened if he had the right spirit? Being willing, being humble, being obedient, following what the Lord desired to do. But God prepared the fish and provided for his deliverance. God prepared a gourd, a worm, a wind. God wasn't done. God was showing him, this is what I can do. This is the power I can reveal. This is the outcomes that I can bring about. And God, help us to be able to get on the same page with the Lord and not saying, I'll do it my way, I'll go my direction, I've got it figured out, don't bother me. No, thank the Lord. He's able to prepare, he's able to bless, he's able to bring his plan into fruition. God, help us to be able to go along with it and step out of a cave of pride. That was Jonah's problem, a cave of pride. And he wanted vengeance on the people from Nineveh. He remembered how they had treated his people, the Israelites. He remembered the hatred that they had for the Hebrews. He wanted them paid back. He thought, this is revenge. This is vengeance. Let the judgment of God fall on them. They deserve it. God caused him to go and preach, and praise God. What a tremendous result that came. And thank God that the Lord is able to bring those kinds of results. Because believing on the Lord, believing is so important because it's connected with obedience. Believing the Lord is going to result in obedience. It's not just a mental assent. It's not just a nod of the head, raising of the hand, whatever it might be to indicate, yeah, I'll go with that. No, there's an obedience to the plan of God that is going to be required. Not just required, but it's logical. It fits. It goes right along with what the Word of God says. Believing him and trusting him. Now, the Bible says, Jesus did not many mighty miracles there. Where? His hometown. Because of their unbelief. And the Bible says Jesus marveled at their unbelief. He just stepped back and shook his head and wondered, why aren't you believing? Why aren't you following through here? Why aren't you grasping what I'm saying? Because there's potential and there's power that I can reveal. If you'll just believe. And the scripture tells us an evil heart of unbelief will cause you to depart from the living God. Lord, help us not to have an evil heart of unbelief, but to draw closer to the Lord, to be lifted up in his presence. Amen. To know his goodness and his power is going to move as a result of faith. Faith will help bring miracles that you can marvel at, that you can be aware of. God has answered. God has blessed. God has provided. Amen. And thank the Lord. There are many, many miracles that are sitting right here tonight. Amen. If we were to have a list of them all, if we were to see the background, if we were to see the results of what the Lord has done, we would be absolutely amazed. And God, help us to remember our God is a prayer-answering God. He is a healing God. He is a delivering God. He is the one who can lift up by his presence and bring peace when it seems there's nothing but turmoil. But thank God, we know our Lord is the God of peace. Amen. Now, there are some we've got to give credit to. There are some who made the attempt. They tried to come out of a cave, so to speak, and tried to do what was right. Moses is one of them. He identified with his Hebrew brethren. The short time that he had with his mother, Jochebed, before he was welcomed to the palace of the Pharaoh, that short span instilled in him the knowledge of one God, the faith that he needed to have, the identity that he had as a Hebrew, and the language that he was able to learn before he would go to the Egyptian palace. And there came a time when he identified with them. These are my brethren. And he saw an Egyptian taskmaster mistreating some of his brethren. And he looked one way and looked the other and then took the man out. Moses is not a wimp. He's not one who, just took time to eat the dainties of the palace and follow his Egyptian mom around. No, he studied. He worked. He applied himself. And there's proof of it because when he flees as a result, he runs as a result of this death and the Pharaoh finding out, there's a stone that needs to be moved from the well of some shepherds that he finds, some women who are taking care of him, and he moves the stone by himself. He's a strong young man. And he tried to do something about the circumstances, but now you got to wait on God's timing. He was 40 years old when he left Egypt. He spends 40 years in the desert. He learns to be a shepherd. He learns to take care of himself. He learns to apply himself in those circumstances. He learns to be patient. He learns the desert areas and the necessity of fodder and feed and water and so on. All of these things. And then finally, he encounters the Lord in that burning bush. Pretty awesome. The Lord knows how to get your attention, doesn't he? God help us to pay attention. I think if I saw a bush on fire that wasn't being consumed, it wasn't turning black, it wasn't crumbling into a heap of ashes, I think I would turn aside and see what's going on, just like Moses did. And then he hears the voice. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord, there would be that commissioning that he would have. But he needed to come out of a cave of self-preservation. I'm just doing my own thing. I'm minding my own business. I've married a wife. I've got a family. I've got a job. I'm doing good. Leave me alone. That wasn't his attitude. Maybe it was, because he did say, "Who am I? Who they're going to ask? Who sent you?" And the Lord giving that definitive, powerful description, definition of who he is. I am that I am. Yes. Praise God. Almost sounds like a riddle, but the Lord is saying he is self-existent, he's dependent on no one, and he is eternal. Praise God. I'm thankful that's who we're serving. I'm thankful that's who we're calling upon. What shall I say? They're not going to believe me. I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. He goes on and on with his excuses. But the Lord wanted to make sure he had some signs. He said, "What do you have in your hand? A staff. Throw it down." It became a snake. I don't like snakes. I don't like being around them. I think I would have made some tracks out of there pretty quick. But the Lord said, "Pick it up." Picked it up by the tail. Smart man. And it became a staff again. Put your hand in your coat, put his hand in there. Take it out. It was white and leprous. God was trying to make a point. It's not going to be you, Moses. It's not going to be your wisdom, your knowledge, your ability, your ingenuity, your education, your talents, your gifting. It's not going to be you, Moses. I'm showing you my power. I'm showing you what I'm going to do. Take your hand out again. I think it came out faster than it went in. Amen. And it was made whole. Praise God. The Lord was showing him his great power and how he was going to be able to do signs and wonders. Don't just try to preserve yourself. I want you to deliver the people of Israel. Amen. And the next 40 years of Moses' life. Oh, my. Be interesting to count the miracles sometime. Count the miracles. Praise God. And then he ends up on a mountain with Jesus as the Lord is shining brighter than the sun. And Elijah is there also, along with Moses. Hallelujah. No wonder Peter was so excited and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. Amen. Because he wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. So, Elisha is the protege of Elijah. And he asked for a double portion, by the way. Remember that? Double portion? And he did twice the number of miracles that Elijah did. And again, not by his power, but because he wanted the presence of God. He wanted the glory of God to be displayed for him. Amen. And don't let me forget the last miracle, okay? If I try to go on here with not telling you and just holler out, last miracle. King Joash was being directed by Elisha to shoot an arrow of deliverance out the window. They're in the palace. They're talking about the victory. They're talking about what God wants to do. And Elisha put his hands on his hands, and they drew the bow back, and the arrow went flying. And Elisha declares, the arrow of deliverance. Now take a handful of arrows and smite the ground. King Joash, I don't know how old he is. Old enough to know, just keep doing it and don't stop. Don't ask questions. Don't wonder why. Don't think you're foolish. Don't think you're being ridiculous. Just obey. Well, he smote the ground three times. And I'd like to have seen the expression on Elisha's face. Bewilderment, perhaps. Disappointment. Anger. You should have smote the ground five or six times. Then you would have had victory over the enemy. But you stopped short. You stopped short of the victory that God wanted you to have. Is there a cave of self-satisfaction? A cave that says, that's good enough. I don't need to go overboard here. And I don't need to jump in the deep end. This good enough. Good enough. You don't need to get carried away with this religious stuff. And as being a Bible thumper, well, I found some exciting things, thumping my Bible. And claiming the promises of God and believing what the Lord said in his word. Praise God. I'm doing good enough. It's probably what he was feeling as he smote the ground three times with that handful of angels. Let me ask you, do we do as much as we can or just enough to get by? See, that's going to determine where we are in what cave we're in. The cave of good enough, maybe? Just enough to get by. Just enough to ease our conscience. Just enough to appear as though we're going with the flow. We're with the program. We're doing what we need to do. Or do we do as much as we can? That's got to be the question. Amen. Now, a complacent church? A complacent church is not what the Lord's coming back for. That's not what he's coming back for. Amen. He's coming back for a committed church, a confident church, a comforted church, because he's our comforter. Not a church that's complacent. Not a church that feels, this is good enough. Oh, I was supposed to tell you about the last miracle. Elisha dies. Didn't quite reach the double portion. But there was a conflict that was going on Some soldiers had their dead companion, and they were fleeing, and they were being pursued by the army, and they couldn't carry their comrade, so they threw him in a cave, I guess, a hole in the ground, and they dashed off. Well, it was the grave of Elisha. And when that dead soldier hit the bones of that dead prophet, he came alive. You ever wake up and wonder where you are? Where is this place? But that didn't stop that guy from jumping up, climbing out of that hole, running after his comrades. Hey, wait for me! I think they kicked it in a second gear. I think they were getting out of there. What in the world? We threw him in there dead. Here he is running after us. Oh, man. Our God can do it. Yes. Yes. Amen. You ever hear of Barna, the Barna group? Here's a, they're famous for surveys that they do. And one of their surveys, they reported 3 out of 5 unchurched, don't go to church, in the U.S. are self-described Christians. That would be like saying, oh, you're a shopper, but you don't go to the store? You're a shopper, but you're not online? You know, then a Christian needs to be in church. Needs to hear the word of God. Yes. Needs to be in fellowship with all the other people of God. Yes. Amen. But they found out in this survey perhaps why there were some who claimed to be Christians but they're unchurched, because 37% in their survey, 37% said they avoid church because of painful experiences with church people. They're going to the wrong church. They need to come to SPC. Need to understand, praise God, the love of the Lord is powerful and wonderful. Amen. 28% of the adult U.S. population, this is that survey again, is unchurched. 28%, or 65 million people. Is there a harvest field out there? Is there a harvest field right here in Sterling, Soldotna, and Kenai, all the places that we shop and do business and drive around and fish and all of the things that we do? God help us to recognize. And if you add children to that, and that was 28% of the adults, if you add children to that, about 100 million are unchurched. God help us. God help us to be able to step in to the realm that needs to be changed, that needs to have a situation that is going to include the testimonies and the work that God desires to do. You ever hear, no, we've got a lot of tourists. Thank God for the fishermen that Lee and Barb have been bringing to church. Praise God. And all of that, all of the tourism that we see happening here. Have you ever heard of suicide tourism? Suicide tourism. That's Switzerland and euthanasia. Going there to commit suicide. It's amazing, isn't it? There, at one point, we're discussing a tax that would charge large fees to foreigners who came to end their lives. That's the world we're in. God help us recognize the time is so short, and we've got to make an impact. We've got to have the influence of salt and light. God help us to be able to step into that realm and understand what the Lord desires us to do. Amen. So Elijah, what are you doing in this cave? You know the trouble with self-pity? A pity party? Only one shows up. And Elijah is there in that cave. The victories he just experienced, God answered by fire. And what a fire. It evaporated the water and the blood. It burned up the sacrifice and the wood. And not only that, it burned up the dust and the rocks of the altar that he had rebuilt. Some kind of nuclear fire or something. But God answered by fire in such a way that it wasn't just a little tendril of smoke. It wasn't just a little spark. So that if that had happened with the prophets of Baal, oh, they would have claimed, look, look, our God answered by fire. But it didn't happen. But when Elijah prayed 69 words, wow. It's incredible. And then God answered by rain. Hadn't rained for 3.5 years. None. But now, a rainstorm. Praise God. But where's Elijah? After that, he's under a juniper tree, under a load of despair. He thinks he's the only one left. Sometimes we feel that way. But remember, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's not just in Hebrews 13:5. That's in several places in the scripture. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. And Elijah had to hear, there's 7,000 like you, Elijah. They've not bowed their knee to the false gods and idols. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. And then Elijah has something to eat prepared by the angels. Look at that now. He's had ravens feed him. He's had the widow woman feed him. Now he's having angels feed him. I don't know what kind of diet that is, but as God provided, God ministered, and then the Lord told him, go forth and stand. And the Lord passed by. A wind that ripped rocks off of the mountainside. That's quite a wind. Imagine how that sounded in the cave. And then an earthquake. Was it 8.2? I don't know. And then a fire. And then, praise God, the still, small voice. God can be incredibly sensational. God can be fantastic in his answers. But sometimes it's just going to be simple. It's just going to be straightforward. It's just going to be non-sensational. That still small voice. That there's got to be a sensitivity within us. All the racket, all the noise, all the media, all of the distractions. God help us to be able to zero in on what his word says and what his spirit is speaking to our hearts. And how there can be peace, how there can be strength, how there can be blessing. Praise God. Be sensitive and move when he says move. Elijah had to come out of the cave. It was the second time the Lord asked him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Amen. Then the Lord said, go and return. We get back to the place of believing. Get back to the place of receiving. And then believe God for even more. Praise God. Elijah wrapped his face in a mantle. The mantle was a symbol of power to Elisha, the protege that was to come along. Praise God. I'm thankful we can wrap ourselves in the presence of the Lord and know that his power is there. Not my weakness, his power. Amen. That's what I want to be wrapped up in. Not wrapped up in my weakness and my can'ts and my difficulties. Wrapped up in his power. Wrapped up in his presence. Praise God. Amen. And then be ready to pass that mantle on. Amen. And Elijah was mentoring Elisha. It wasn't just a transfer of the moment. There were things that were going on. There were things that were happening. The next generation needs to be prepared. And then God told Elijah his plan. Praise God. And when it came time for Elijah to be caught up, he cast the mantle on Elisha. And then Elisha picked it up. Praise God, the double portion. the work that God was desiring to do, the blessing that the Lord was going to bring forth. Thank God, the Lord and his power is what we can key in on and know the blessings of God that are there. I will build my church, the Lord declared, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Hallelujah. We're saved by his blood. We're redeemed by his name. We're filled with his spirit. We obey his word. Hallelujah. And we see the blessings that the Lord has done and the power that he has brought forth. I remember hearing the report, Brother Churchill, from Guatemala, and how a believer traveling on a bus, they travel on public transportation a lot. A believer was on the bus. He dropped something on the floor. He bent over to pick it up. And an explosive that was thrown through the window killed the passenger next to him. Was a coincidence that he just bent over to pick up his fallen folder when that explosive was tossed in the window? I believe God was protecting him. A girl was riding to school with her dad. She put the seat back to take a little bit of a snooze, a little bit of a nap, and the bullet came through the door window, just missing her head. Our God knows how to work. It's not a time for complacency. It's not a time to just sit back in comfort and then think that, oh my, we're going to ride this out smooth. Everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be all right. I don't even need to exert anything. I don't need to press. I don't need to push. Oh no, the hand of God needs to be there in your life, and you're reaching out for what God desires to do. Amen. Amen. Lee was riding in an elevator. Lee Iacocca. Remember him? Ford Mustang, Chrysler. He made some commercials. And a guy was riding on the elevator with him, complimenting him on his commercials, saying what a good job he did and so on, you know, just heaping praise upon him until Lee Iacocca said, I could care less what you think of my commercials. What kind of car are you driving? That's what it comes down to. Are you persuading? Are you teaching? Are you helping? Amen. Because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Praise God. We could sing right here Brother Churchill's favorite song. Brother Churchill loves this song. Hold the fort. For I am come. No, he's about to throw a songbook at me. And he doesn't like that song. He doesn't think the church should be forted up. He doesn't think it should be stationary. He doesn't think it should just be, you know, hanging on by the skin of his teeth, whatever that is. Amen. It's to be moving forward. It's not to be immobile. It needs to be a force. Spirit and truth, thank God, moving forward to do the work of God and to see what the Lord is able to do. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we come out of our cave. What do? Stand there and look around. Now what? Oh, you get in touch. You know what the Word of God says. You step into His plan. You're sensitive to his still small voice. You want to know how the Lord would direct you and guide you, how he would speak to your heart. Amen. And thank God the church doesn't have to cower in a cave and be convinced that you're ineffective, you're not going to be able to make a difference, you can't change society, you can't do anything. Oh, yes, you can. Praise God. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. You're called by the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, that is the name of salvation. You're filled with the Almighty Spirit of God. Amen. Thank God you can do the work that God desires you to do. In Acts 5, the apostles were locked up, and the angel opened the door. That's another message there, isn't it? The devil trying to put you in a cell. The devil trying to put you in a small space, confine you, frighten you, make you feel like it's all over. This is the end. Angel opened the door. Go, stand, and speak all the words of this life. Praise God. Twiddle your thumbs. Don't wonder what to do. Go, stand, and speak. Sensitive to the still small voice of the Spirit of God, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's stand and praise the Lord now. Oh, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your great name, Jesus. Thank you, O God. Thank you, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your voice. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, we love your name, Lord. We love your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Believing is such a simple thing to do. And you exercise faith, maybe not in a Bible sense, in a religious sense, but you exercise faith every time you flip the switch, going into the bathroom or into your bedroom or whatever. Every time you put the key in your car and you turn it without even thinking of all of the circuitry and all of the power and all the, you know, the aspects of an internal combustion engine and so on, you just turn it. You expect it to start up. Faith. The Bible says that God has given to every man, every woman, the measure of faith. Remember Brother Reed preaching on that? Amen. God's given you a measure. God's given you an amount. God's given you a special provision of faith. Now, it's up to you to use it. Up to you to exercise that. Up to you to put it in motion, to put it in place. Yes, Lord, I believe. Praise God. And like the Ethiopian riding in the chariot, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? If you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. They stopped the chariot. Two grown men got out, went into the pool of water, baptized him. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? We don't even know anything about it. You know something about it, Helen? Praise God. It's powerful, isn't it? Wonderful. We don't even know anything about how were you baptized then? Now, why did he ask that? Two questions. Boom, boom. Because Paul wanted to know, have you been born again of the water and of the Spirit? Not some aspect here that just kind of floating around in the cosmos. No, you recognize God has a plan for you to fulfill. Amen. When they heard that, they were baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul prayed for them, and they received the Holy Ghost and spoke another tongue supernaturally. That's the kind of work God can do, supernaturally. Amen. Oh, thank God. Thank God. There's a hunger. There's an awareness of the things of the Lord. That Barna group reported that there's 29% of American adults who don't believe in the Bible, don't follow the Bible, don't consult it, don't read it. And they were actually encouraged. 29% of Americans don't believe the Bible, because that meant another metric measured that there was an increase of people who were consulting it. They were reading it. They were relying upon it. God help us to be able to get in contact with those folks. Teach them the Word of God. Show them what God's Word says. Amen. Let them know there are promises, powerful promises that God wants to fulfill in their lives. Amen. Come out of a cave and get busy. Come out of a cave and get involved. Come out of the cave and see what God can do through you. God using you, God blessing you, God directing you. Can we come and pray? We're going to go in fellowship here in a bit. We can come and pray here for a few minutes. Amen. I know that we've got just a short time here, but I think it's important that we come with a disconnect with old ways of thinking, old ideas, old beliefs. And we step forward into a new dimension that God wants us to move into, a new obedience that He wants to bless, a new awareness of how powerful He is and what He's able to perform. That's why I call you to the front to pray, because I want you to implement that disconnect, and I want you to step in to the blessings that God has for you, to the power that He wants to show you, to the strength that He wants to infuse you with. Praise God. Can we give Him a praise now? Give Him a worship.